What a fantastic morning, right? Chapter 26, Leaving People with Their Dignity 2022. And we get to be on the phone and have scripture and a worship leader. We're on the phone all over the United States. This is amazing. It's amazing. And it's wonderful and it's a blessing. Well, we had a couple of things last, you know, about blessing and miracle. Look, I had to make this up so that I could teach it, okay? Biblically speaking, I just had to come up with something. I can't substantiate it with a scripture. I would have to do it with the whole book. But it looks to me like miracles are things I didn't have anything to do with. I didn't have anything to do with it. The blessing seems to be for me how to use this miracle that he gave me. So I get blessed every day on how to do things. Discernment in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, prayer, all these things, they teach me what to do with this miracle that God gave me. God is an amazing God, right? He is a divine individual, and I am not divine. He is. So he gives me a gift that is of the divine. I need some direction, right? I need some direction, man. Well, that direction comes in the form of a blessing. How to do things, people that come into my life and teach me and help me, and discernment of the Holy Spirit, the Word. I get it from all over the place. So it's not one scripture that says, this is a blessing and this is a, you know, and people say all the time, you're blessed. Well, yeah. Do they really know what they're saying? I don't know. I had to figure it out because I got to run a lot of jobs and a lot of people. And for me, the blessing is that I learn how to handle the life he's given me. And the life he's given me was a miracle. I had nothing to do with it. All right, now having said that, chapter 26, leaving people with their dignity, there's a lot. This is a blessing. This is how to live in the life that I have been given. How to live in this life. How to align myself to do such things. So, chapter 26, leaving people with their dignity 2022. Why have such a chapter? Leaving people with their dignity. What is such a thing? People are people. They do what they do, right? What does dignity have to do with me? Leave people their dignity? When? How? These are all questions I've asked myself. And before I can explain how, let's start with the when. When is it necessary to leave people with their dignity? Now, I'm going to detract from the notes for just a second to say, why did this come to me? Because I was noticing that without something, I was not being efficient. I was not being successful in helping someone. When it got to a certain point, I needed something more so that I could give to God what he had given to me. I could give him the best me so that he could make a better me. But man, I had to learn this about things. So let's get back to it, back to the notes. These questions I have asked myself before I can explain how to leave people with their dignity. Let's start with when do I do this? When is it necessary to leave people with their dignity? The answer always comes back the same. When people are not doing what I want them to do, or they refuse to do what I want them to do, or they disagree with what I want them to do, or a person just flat out disagrees with me and decides to do what they want to do in spite of whatever effect it has on anybody, anything, and especially the big one, they don't care how it affects me. That's it, bottom line. Well, why am I so special? I'm going to tell you why I and what I have to do am special and why you and what you have to do is special. 1 John 3:9, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. For his seed remains in him. His is a capital H. God is in me. Now, I try to remember that scripture in this lesson because doing that scripture is almost impossible, isn't it? It's almost impossible. Whoever has been born of God does not sin. It's almost impossible. It is impossible because he has been born of God. I want to be better. Well, therein lies it. I want to be better. And it requires, this scripture requires grace and mercy of God from him, with him, as he has done with me, so I want to do for him. And there lies the challenge. My job. Why am I special? Why are you special? My job. My job that he has given me. Care about people, help people, manage people, and teach people. And I got to do that when they are unlovable, unteachable, and unmanageable. It is a daunting task. It can also be very rewarding, right? It can be rewarding for a time as people choose a course correction for the better, and then people decide to change course and go backwards. So after this reward of time where I see them do better, they change their mind and go backwards. And suddenly the rewards fade, don't they? There's also an ebb and flow, I understand, of people doing and not doing, right? Doing what they should and not doing, kind of the ebb and flow of bumbling and bouncing into what is right and working towards things and talking and discussing, an ebb and flow, if you will. Some call that a relationship, right? Not me. In my line of work, it's not a relationship. It's a calling, an appointment, a responsibility, a crucial position that stands in the gap of sanity and insanity. And God gave me this responsibility. I got to push against all odds to engage. My job is to push back an invisible enemy that strikes against all that will absolutely destroy dreams and hopes. Let me say it again, brothers and sisters. My job, in the grace and mercy and power of God only, is to push back an invisible enemy that strikes against all that will absolutely destroy dreams and hopes. Now, if you think that sounds arrogant, think again. What do you think you got to do with your children, with your family, when your brothers and sisters go sideways? Who's standing in the gap between them and total chaos? I fight an enemy, you fight an enemy, and that enemy has a name. The name is ignorance. Ignorance comes in all forms. I'll mention a few. Arrogance, ego, rebellious, self-righteous, indignant. There are more. When I'm faced with ignorance, it would seem there is no way out. I'm going to lose the argument. Those arguing against me are going to win. They're going to win the argument, thusly losing the point. A point which could be the winning ticket to catastrophic failure, and there is nothing it would seem I could do about it. You got that? When I face ignorance, I'm going to lose the argument. There's a good chance I'm going to lose the argument. Perhaps you can identify with such problems. Here's one. A drunk that's going to drive, you're going to lose that argument. A person who's going to cheat, you're going to lose that argument. An entitled moment to spend money or commit funds that are not available, people are going to do that, whether they got the money or not. They're going to get what they think they got to have. Causing debt, naming it as an investment. Right? Causing debt, naming it as an investment. Authorizing the character assassination of me or anybody they feel like slandering in order to support an illegitimate point. These things are going to happen. How do you leave people with their dignity in this? Well, I'm talking about it right now. If you're following me so far, you'll identify how difficult, given the situation, it would be to leave a person their dignity. A person acting in this way would only be more committed to an egregious cause against me and all that's good. They would be against me, and everything that I would argue would only confirm what they were thinking. You know those arguments. You know what they are when people just confirm that you don't know. And the stronger you get against them, the more it is confirmed in their minds that you are wrong and they are right. Scripture is challenging for me in this respect. A better word for it might be, it's hard, the direction of Scripture. It's hard for me. Titus 2:7-8, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Hard stuff. What does it mean? Come on, you know what it means. My job is to give direction, navigate, move people clearly and correctly, not in my opinion. Oh no. Opinions have no place in leadership. Problem solving is based on historical evidence. Only the right path, methods that are tried and true, teachers who are correct and have passed the test of discernment in what is right. To have people around you that know what is right, problem solving, tried and true, problems that have been, these are absolute empirical evidence. You see, there are incorrect teachers everywhere. incorrect, pushing people into bad situations in the name of all things good and right. You and I best not entertain or commit funds to such people. Being a correct teacher, however, it's at times not popular. Not popular, and it's a very big responsibility. I got that in Scripture, right? James 3:3. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You better know what you're talking about. Not a theory or a generality. You better have the facts when you're trying to teach people. People don't let me leave them with their dignity when their spirit has been compromised and the need to be right overtakes the need to be correct. When people get like that, how do I leave them with their dignity? Well, I got to tell you this, it's incumbent on me to try anyway. I mean, really, really try. Not kind of try, really try. Fight them to get back on the correct path. Now, the amount of trying, it varies. Believe me, I know that. There's no one way to get that. There's varying degrees. It is the same way. You know, actually, there is one way, but there's varying degrees of it, right? Like the volume on a radio, right? The songs are playing, but the volume on the radio, sometimes it's too much, sometimes it's too little. Believe me, I've watched people fight for their right to be stupid. And as advertised, common sense is not so common, and stupid is very, very expensive. Bingo. We begin right there. Philippians 2:3. Whoever just moved, mute your phone. Willie, I think it might be you. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. Mute your phone. You're talking right now. Mute your phone. Let's do that again. This is where we begin. Common sense is not so common, and stupid is very expensive. Philippians 2:3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. That's one way to try. I got to make sure that I know that whoever I'm fighting, they're more important than me. As an owner operator of a business, I need all kinds of people. And they all don't get along with each other or me. Learning to respect people is a job for sure, especially if you don't care for them or like them. That's a whole lesson in and of itself. But the short Cliff Notes version of chapter 26 is leaving people with their dignity. I've often said about it, I can have anything I want in this life if I'm willing to work with people I don't like. Oh, think about that for a second. I can have anything I want in this life if I'm willing to work with people I don't like. Yeah, that's an original for sure, isn't it? People are so bent on blowing up the moment, it may be impossible for the relationship to continue. That's a tough concept for sure. You're either the peacemaker or you're not. I do want to point out that the person you are fighting for or with, the person standing against you for common sense, will label you as incompetent and will label your presentation, although it's correct, it will, in their mind, verify and disqualify you in the disagreement. It's maddening. But still, I got to try. In the face of absolutely correct, it will only confirm to who you're fighting that you don't get it. You got to try. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Well, what about these stubborn people? What about people who are dead wrong? What's the difference between a bad day and a bad fit with people? A bad day and a bad fit. Our fiduciary duty as CEOs requires us to lead, teach, and inspire. People need supervision. I check in on everything and everybody in my life. It's the only way I can stay straight and keep the business straight. God is my partner, and all that He has given me is mine to care for, nurture, work with. If I don't do that, the yield will reflect failure. A little at a time or all at once. It's tough. I got to pay attention to everything and everybody, and then somebody's got to trip me up or give me grief over something. How do I leave people their dignity in these tough challenges. Titus 2, 7, 8. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed, because they have nothing bad to say about us. By the grace of God, we accept direction and are better for it. You are in charge. You have been given much, and much is required, as Scripture says. Still, what do I do? Clearly, someone who is under my authority, responsibility, a student, if you will, a client, a loved one. What do I do when I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that the path being taken is not a good one? If I take right, wrong, good, and bad out of it, if I remove all my judgment, still, based on historical evidence, empirical knowledge, my direction is to stop. Sir, madam, this thing will not work that you want to do. This thing a person is about to do, this thing you are about to do, will cost and not yield. Let me say that again. Someone who's under my authority, responsibility, a student, client, loved one, what do I do when I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the path being taken is not a good one? If I take, even if I take right, wrong, good, and bad out of it, if I remove all my judgment, still, based on historical evidence, empirical knowledge, I know this direction will not yield. Stop. This direction you're taking will not yield. Empirical evidence, historical evidence, fact, Psalm 32:9. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. Don't be like that. In these terribly challenging situations, try and calm myself. Why? Because I'll catch the insanity bug, right? We'll go up the flagpole with everybody. Because it is most important that I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that if I fail to make my point, this person is destined to a road alone and tragic. May not be right then and there, but as time goes on, they're cutting the ties with those things that make sense. We feel this way about our children, don't we? We watch them choose those things that waste their time. Years and years wasted in rebellion and tragedy. Yet we love them and hope that even in our anger against their choices, they realize our aim is true. What is in the heart is love and hope for good things to prevail in their lives. Such is that in leadership. With those who have been given to us for teaching and inspiration, our partners, employees, our relationships, it's the same. Remembering these things may allow me to temper my presentation just enough so that a person may escape the spirit, so that someone I'm looking at, I'm focused on, someone that I am responsible for, can resist the spirit of resistance, can stop, interrupt the spirit of resistance and stubborn, and run back to correct before it's too late. The first lesson about leaving people with their dignity is that I have to maintain my own dignity. I got to leave myself in a dignified position. All right, I'm going to say it one more time. Mute your phone. There's 30 people on the phone. Check it and mute it. You're moving around. Mute your phone. The first lesson about leaving people with their dignity is that I have to maintain my own dignity. Leave myself in a dignified position, an example of win-win, good direction, a teacher, a problem solver. Look, man, a godly reprimand has love in it. However, even though it has love in it, it never yields to foolishness, yours or mine. Listen, identify, and redirect people. Hear their explanation. Hear their explanation and or their complaints. Identify with the information. We're not above it or below it. Identify with it, but don't co-sign inconsistent, irreprehensible, unconscious, selfish, immature behavior. And how do you do that? And then brilliantly return people back to work. Well, that's the job, isn't it? If they will allow themselves to be directed according to the rules. It's hard Don't give up, man. Don't give up. Be still sometimes. Be still. And don't be still sometimes. Be discerning and correct. Be still sometimes. Don't be still sometimes. Be discerning and correct. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You might think that has just to do with money. Well, today it has to do with your heart and giving to people to help them in their time of need. When they look at you and say, you don't get it, buddy boy. Look, when you've been put in, when I have been put in charge of a situation, govern with love, understanding, and a strong directive, a plan, Stan, gotta have a plan. It's not so simple to do, is it? Not by a long shot. In this situation, I'm faced, it would seem, with an immovable rock with people. 2 Timothy 2:24, and the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. Sometimes it doesn't sound so gentle. People want to be right, don't they? Even when right is not right. Proverbs 21, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Wow, that's a mouthful right there. Proverbs 21, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Wow. Back in the day, they used to, fire up the old sacrificial table and, put a lamb out there, a ram or something, right, and offer it up to God. He's saying right here, sacrifice, whether it be that or fasting or whatever it may be, he's saying it's more better to do righteousness and justice than sacrifice. He wants you to obey. There are four principles taught here in turnaround. Four principles I teach in turnaround. But today I focus on number two. Always supportive, slightly detached, and always, always equal. Always supportive, slightly detached, and always, always equal. I'm never above or below anybody. I'm slightly detached to observe without harm. Slightly detached. I got slightly attached. People attack when they're in a bad mood. And I must remain equal and supportive wherever possible. You as a company owner are set apart with much responsibility. Much. Those who do not respect good advice and will not yield to historically correct teachers are unteachable. And unfortunately, for the time being, impossible. This is when an assessment must be made. To agree to disagree does not mean co-sign incorrect thinking. It does, however, still allow that we wish good things for another, even when the difference is irreconcilable. You still have the love of God for someone, even though the difference is irreconcilable. Before allowing an argument to be lost, however, before allowing to give in the towel and say, I give up. Before you do that and that person goes into chaos unwittingly, not knowing, proudly, I might say, try one more time to adhere to the golden rule of chapter 26, Romans 12. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. What does that mean, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice? It just means that you say, you gave me my life. Correctly direct me so that I may obey and do what is best. Instead of what? Justified resentment. Justified resentment. It's the worst anchor and interrupter for success. People do it all the time. Gets in the way of everything. One mistake and you're toast. One infraction and you are irrelevant and your position impertinent. Isn't that right? That's justified resentment, isn't it? We do it all the time. Well, of course, when we make a mistake, we want to be forgiven. When somebody else makes a mistake, we bring down on them hard. Is there scripture in that? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a little story about a guy who was forgiven for his debt. The king forgave him, and then he was free at last. He didn't have to go to prison, didn't have to die, didn't have to do anything. And he went out, and somebody owed him money, came down on him, full extent of the law. Things didn't work out so good for that guy. We got to consider our own actions, right? Instead of the one mistake and you're toast, one infraction and you're irrelevant and your position impertinent. People need time to consider their actions, right? A little breath, a little air there. I need to consider my responsibility in a position given to me by God. How long do I wait? Well, for sure, you stop anything that is causing harm to your company, to your life, to families, to things in your responsibility, anything that's causing harm, you put a stop to it. But once that's accomplished, there can be a time where there's nothing more to say. Nothing more to say. Time to stop talking. Perhaps in this time, God can do a work. If I feel like I need to call somebody back and reboot or go over all my points again, I do not. I must not do not. When it is time to pause, pause. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Mark Twain says, kindness is a language which the deaf can hear and the blind can see. Ralph Waldo Emerson says, you cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he wrote letters and papers from prison. It's a great book. We must learn to regard people less in the light of what they do or omit to do, and more in the light of what they suffer. Whew, that's a good one, isn't it? Whew. Jesse Jackson says, never look down on anybody unless you're helping them up. And in regards to myself, I remember the following. A quote by me, for me. The measure of the man is how fast he gets off of it. There must be alignment before there can be assignment. People must be in order before they can handle any more responsibility. Even existing responsibility, they got to be in order, myself included. You can't get any more. You can't even do what you got if you're not in order. So how do you leave people with their dignity? Well, I'm going to tell you one way that I do it. Chapter 26, Leaving People with Their Dignity, 2022. You know the easy way to leave people with their dignity? Here's how I do it. I remember my own sins, all of them, over my entire life. Definitely keeps me humble and gives me good testimony. My own history of failed concepts, all stated by me with such lofty presence of mind and mouth, right? All yielding in the end, nothing good. These things I share with people before they take that fateful step in the wrong direction. Amen, amen. John, let's rock and roll.